I need to ask you a question. Are you prepared to meet life at its hardest and most difficult point? Do you have the ability to hold out to the very end in spite of everything that life can throw at you? That's the question. Can you make it? This question takes many forms. For example, is your faith strong enough for the big emergencies? Strong enough to triumph over all of the resentments and the exasperations? Is your trust in the goodness and the power of God enough to overcome those times of disappointment and cynicism? Is your love for God deep enough to keep the fires of that love burning brightly when the winds of life threaten to blow it out? It's not surprising that we have such questions as that. Not even the saints have been immune. Happened to Elijah. One day Elijah had gone on Mount Carmel to meet with the prophets of Baal in confrontation. After he had demonstrated that the living God was the true God, Elijah killed 400 of those prophets at the brook Kishon. When Jezebel heard what he had done to her prophet, she was furious. She sent him a message. May the Lord do so to me and more if I don't make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow. Well, fear struck Elijah's heart, and that was a spiritual collapse. We find him running out into the desert crying, I'm through with faith and hope and love. And he throws himself down like a peevish child beneath the juniper tree, crying, no one cares. Life's not worth living. I want to die. There was a day when it happened to the Apostle Paul. That thorn in the flesh was dogging his every track, spoiling all of his plans for ministry. Why can't they leave me alone, he cries. It's getting worse. There are days it is sheer torment. I can't take it anymore. God, take it away. There was a day it happened to Peter. I've denied my Lord, he thought wretchedly. This dreadful thing, this unforgivable thing. Once, twice, three times I did it. Oh, God, I'm sick of myself. I'm finished. But to Elijah, under the juniper tree, broken and beaten, there came an angel and ministered to him. A real visitation from the Lord. To Paul, at the end of his tether, there came a voice and a touch. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. To Peter, miserable and ashamed, there came the Lord walking on the shores of Galilee to forgive and to restore and to send him forth with a commission, feed my sheep. Well, something like that, said the evangelist, is what happened in the life of Jesus. At the very beginning of the story, we read that Jesus went into the wilderness to do battle with the devil. After 40 days, the devil left, and we read, an angel came and ministered to him. And Jesus left that wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right there at the close of the story, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the sins of all mankind had been laid on his loving heart and the sweat came like great drops of blood, we read, an angel came and strengthened him. And Jesus left that garden to face the final sacrifice for sins in the sure knowledge that underneath were the everlasting arms. You see, that same wonderful experience happens to you and me in our times of need. There appears an angel of the Lord, and he comes to minister to us. I can guarantee you that there will be those in the congregation this morning who will tell you that is true. And they know it is true because it has happened to them. But has that ever happened to you? Let me share with you three ways that the angels of the Lord come to minister to us And then perhaps you and I can recognize them when they do come into our lives. The first way that they come to minister to us is through the Word of God. In a moment of strain, a doubt, or uncertainty, there comes a sudden light, a reinforcing, rallying Word of God. Has that ever happened to you? You were down and out because life seemed so difficult, and it seemed that you were not going to be able to go on another step. There came a trumpet note. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, there was a day when a devastating sense of unworthiness swept over your souls. You had sinned grievously and fallen short of the glory of God. You were so ashamed of yourselves. You had been so unchristlike. Then there came the word of the Lord. I have blotted out as a thick cloud all of your transgressions. There was a day when you were weary and broken and tired and life was drudgery. And there came the word. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest unto your souls. This is one way the Lord has of ministering to us. It's through His Word. That's why it's so vitally important for us to read the Word of God regularly. Here is our listening post from the Lord. Here is the place that He comes to speak to us and to minister to us at no other time. And let me tell you, if we neglect the Word of God, we have shut ourselves off from the ministering angels. But then we don't need to miss it. Because we can take this word, we can read it, we can meditate on it, we can feed upon it, and the ministering angels will move among us. He will stand beside one with a deep personal worry. He will say, cast your burdens upon the Lord. He will move to another who finds that life is so difficult and is not certain that he can go on another day. The Lord is the strength of my life, he says. Whom shall I fear? Yonder is another. Faith is giving way. They've almost come to the point of saying, I can't believe anymore. And like Elijah, when he spoke to the Lord about his servant who could not believe in the presence and the power of God, and Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw the angels and the chariots of fire all around. And to another and another and another, he speaks the very word that is needed to strengthen life. That's one way that the ministering angel of the Lord comes to meet us, to strengthen us to live life that he calls us to live. The second way that ministering angel comes to meet us is through our fellow man. See, he draws close to us as we make contact with those who have that blessed faculty of turning our weakness into strength. To that person, we inevitably say, you've been an angel to me. That's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Because we belong to Jesus Christ, we belong to each other. Because we belong to each other, we have responsibilities to each other. Over and over and over, the Scriptures remind us of that. Those who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who have no strength. If any man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Who of us have not known times of weakness and discouragement? And we've turned to a brother and sister in the Lord, and they have reached out a steadying hand, and they have spoken a word to us that encouraged us. Someone who takes us by the hand, and we are affirmed simply because we've been in their presence. When our morale cracks because we've lost faith in ourselves, when the temptations of life become so strong, it seems that we cannot resist another moment. When the burdens of life are so heavy, we can't take another step. when the problems of life are so big, there seems to be no solutions at all. That's the moment that we need a brother and sister to reach out a steadying hand and to say an encouraging word to us. Perhaps the most moving scene in all of English literature comes at the close of Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. In that story, the carts are rumbling down the thronged streets of Paris on their way to the guillotine. And one cart are two prisoners, one a brave man. There was a time when he lost his soul, but then he found it again, and now he was giving his life for a friend. And the other, a girl, little more than a child. Back there in prison, she had seen the strong, courageous face of that man. "If I may ride with you," she had asked, thinking of that last dread journey, "will you let me hold your hand? I'm not afraid, but I'm little and weak, and it will give me more courage." And now as they are riding together, her hand is in his. And as they reach the place of execution, there's no fear at all. She looks up into the quiet, composed face of that man, and she says, "I think you were sent to me by heaven." And it's a glorious experience to have our lives strengthened by associating someone who has that blessed faculty of turning our weakness into strength. Do you remember Job? He had reached the depth of his trouble, and three friends came to bring him comfort. One of those men paid a tremendous tribute to Job. "Job," he said, "your words have kept men on their feet." No doubt Job had lived in that community a long time, and people had learned to turn to Job for strength and for wise counsel and for encouragement. When you're about to fall, turn to a brother or a sister and draw strength from their faith. That's an angel of God coming to meet you. The third way the angel of the Lord comes to meet us is through the Lord himself. It is Jesus who comes to meet us. In one sense, it's always Jesus who comes. When some word from the Scripture lays hold on us, it's not just another word. That's Jesus acting through that word. When a friend comes to reinforce us, that's not just the touch of human kindness. That is Jesus working through that friend. See, if you and I are going to make it today, and we're going to live with faith and with power and victory, there is nothing we ought to pray for more than the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives. There was a dark night when the storm was fierce on Galilee, and the winds howled a gale. And the disciples in a little boat found themselves caught in the midst of that storm. Fear struck their hearts because they were confident that they would never see the light of day. And in the midst of that storm, they looked out and they saw something coming to them walking on the water. At first they thought it was a ghost and then an angel. And finally Peter cried out, "It's the Master. It's Jesus." It was the Lord of the angels coming to meet them and to rescue them. Some of us would probably not be here today if that had not already happened in our lives. If Jesus had not come at the critical moment to take us by the hand and walk with us through that dreadful experience that it exploded in our lives. See, when we are walking in darkness, there is no light, broken and beaten. When our faith has almost given out, we've come to the place that we cannot really believe any longer. When the temptations become so overwhelming, we don't think that we can resist another moment. When the burdens of life are so heavy, we cannot take another step. When the problems are so insurmountable, there seems to be no solution at all. you can be absolutely certain you're not alone. Jesus is there, stronger than the legions of angels in the realms of glory. He is there to take you by the hand and to give you the victory. You know as well as I that life can be a tough experience. Things seem to fall apart. We don't know where to turn. It's in that moment that an angel of God will come. He will minister to us and strengthen us. And we can move through that experience in the victory and the power of God. Would you ever recognize that angel? A word from his book? A brother or a sister in the Lord? Or the Lord Jesus himself coming to take us by the hand and to minister? And an angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. Do you think you'll recognize him when he comes to you?